Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, as we study your word today and hear the message and worship together, bless us and grow us spiritually for you and your kingdom, Father. Just let this service and this church be a blessing to all of us, the community, all those watching, and your entire kingdom, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I titled the sermon, Mine Wasn't Like That. We're talking about conversion today. We've read three stories of people who had conversion to Jesus, to God. We call it salvation, being saved, being good with the big guy upstairs, whatever you want to call it as. Most of us here would say we are, I'm assuming. I would say I am. But then what does it mean beyond that? Beyond the thing that we say, well, I'm saved. I've been reborn. It's all good with me and the big guy. After that, what does it mean? Well, in my ministry in divorce care, working with broken people, and a lot of them are seekers, it's interesting because, especially the last, well, just a few months ago, I had a group, and they really were really hung up on how do you become saved and what is it like? It was more than just how do I do it. It was like, what should it be like for me? So myself and the other facilitators, we told our stories. We always do. And I could see there was a lot of anxiety in the people in the group. And one gentleman said to me, I've been doing what you said you did, but I'm not feeling that. I'm not hearing anything from God or from Jesus. I don't feel anything that you said you felt. How come? And I thought, wow, I don't know. I mean, I went into the trust. Trust and obey. You have to really believe it. You have to really want it. You have to really open yourself up. He was a man with a lot of anger. I said, maybe it's your anger is your block. But then another leader in the group said, well, I believe since I was a little girl, and there's no feeling, there's no joy, there's no moment. You just believe, and then you just grow and you believe. But the other leader of the group said, no, I'm with Kobe. I had this moment where I was on my knees praying to Jesus, praying to God, asking for him to come into my life, and it was like I heard him and felt him, and he said, yes, I'm here, and I knew, and I had joy, and I got up happy and, you know, full of the Spirit. So it's all these different types of conversion. Even my wife, Vicki, she's believed since she was a little girl. I remember speaking to her early on, and she said, I didn't have that moment like you had. When I had my moment, I thought, is this really how it's supposed to be? So I listened to other sermons, other pastor giving sermons. I went online, looked up things, and I found many people who have had that moment like I've had. We were on a cruise about a month ago, and there was a Bible study on the cruise, and we went there. And a man probably in his 60s told his story. And he said he got on his knees, and he was already like 50 or something, and he invited Jesus into his life. And he heard Jesus say yes. And he said, I felt it at that moment. I got up, and I was saved. But not everybody has that. The funny part is someone like myself, when I hear someone say, well, I believe since I was a little child, I feel a little like I missed out. I feel a little jealousy. Like, wow, how many years did I waste living in the world when I could have been living for Christ? But then I think people who don't have that moment because they, because they accepted when they were little, they feel like, how come I didn't get that moment? How come I didn't have that wow moment? Where I just got up and like, oh, now I'm on fire for the Lord, you know? But does it really matter? No. What matters is that we truly accept Jesus Christ into our lives, believe that he's our Lord and Savior, that he rose, that he was crucified, and he rose again. But it is a point of contention among Christians. It's really amazing. You tell your story and somebody will say, no, that isn't how it works. This is my story. So I thought today would be a good day to look at some examples from the Bible of how people were introduced or had their moment. I wouldn't say that everyone that we are talking about today necessarily, especially the first story with Balaam, maybe he didn't really get it in the end, because if you go on another about 8 or 9 verses, he's killed by the Israelites working with their enemies. But he had his moment, and it's an example of how God comes to people in all different ways. So the story of Balaam. I saw one pastor wrote, "Have you heard the one about the king, the wizard, and the donkey?" I mean, it's almost unbelievable, isn't it? The donkey talks. But isn't it amazing that Balaam, who was a prophet, but really what he was a prophet for hire. He, you know, for the right amount of money, he would bless or curse, I think, who you wanted him to. He doesn't see the angel. The donkey does. I mean, isn't that really God showing him that he's blind? That he has scales also, and we all have scales, just like Joel said. It isn't just Paul that has scales on his eyes. I did. When I accepted Jesus, my scales fell off. I mean, they weren't literally, I wasn't blind, you know, physically, but I was blind spiritually, and my eyes were open to the truth. So here's Balaam. He's supposedly, you know, this guy who has, you know, has in with God, and he doesn't even see the angel. But his donkey does. I mean, of all the animals to see, it to a donkey, not a real high, you know, animal in the animal kingdom, but he sees the angel. But Balaam beats the donkey, and he goes on, and the donkey's pushing him against the wall. But in the end, when Balaam sees the angel, then he has kind of a moment where he appears like he's going to come. You know, he says, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me." Well, that's us being converted, isn't it? When we realize, when we accept Jesus Christ. We've heard about him. I'd heard about him. I'd been to church since I was a little boy. But I didn't really think about him, you know. I mean, I believe some of it, not all of it. I've said that before. I didn't know Jesus. But when I realized, when I prayed for him to come into my life, and he did, and I realized it was that moment. I could have said, I did not know you stood in the road against me. I didn't even know I was on a bad road. You know, really, all the time. It's kind of like someone says, and you know, I wasn't as bad as the worst people in the world. So I was okay, right? But then he says, "If it is evil in your sight," well, that's kind of a sign he's not really buying it. "If it is evil, I will turn back." But the problem with Balaam was that he was trying to straddle that line. He had one foot in the world, one foot with God. You can't do that. I can tell you can't do that. Anyone who has ever tried that and has come to Christ can tell you they can't do that. You cannot keep one foot in the world and one foot and then just walk that line and once in a while go this side of the line and go this side of the line. That doesn't work. You're all in for Christ. But Balaam had a donkey talk to him. I didn't have one of my goats talk to me, or one of my chickens, or our dog. He didn't say, "Hey, Kobe, you know, I'm the Lord, you know, speaking through me." So Balaam had a moment that was much more intense than my moment. Mine, I was alone praying, and yes, I felt Jesus tell me that I was forgiven. I felt Jesus tell me that it was all true, the whole Bible. I felt the Holy Spirit come into me, absolutely. But I didn't have an animal talk to me. So Balaam had quite a shot. I'm not sure he really understood it totally, and he might have even blown his shot if you go further in the Bible. Then we got Acts. This one has always been one of my favorites since I really got into the Bible. Was, wow. I mean, if this doesn't give you hope, if you're sitting here today or watching today online and you're not saved, and you have any thoughts, and I hear it all the time in my groups, like getting what I deserve, I'm not good enough for the kingdom of God, he wouldn't want me anyway, just read this one in Acts. Here's Saul, who's a persecutor of Christians, had a part in killing a Christian. You know, one for sure, we don't even know, it doesn't say if it's anymore, is on a mission to destroy God's army. And while he's on the mission, Jesus comes to him and knocks him off his horse and presents himself to him. Probably one of the worst men in the Bible, or at least in the New Testament, becomes one of God's greatest followers. A man who ends up writing 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. If he hadn't been converted, we'd have a lot shorter New Testament, probably. So here's a guy who hated Christians, was bent on persecuting Christians, killing the movement. I mean, that's a bad guy. And he ends up becoming one of God's chosen and writes 13 of our books here in the Bible. And becomes on fire for the Lord. I guess I can relate to him. I wasn't as bad as him in the world way, but when it says that he grew in strength for the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, confounded the Jews who lived in the mess by proving that Jesus was the Christ, and immediately proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." I know that feeling because I got up that night and I wanted to run out of my house and go to the neighbors and pound on the door and say, "It's true, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Let me tell you about it." And that's what I see in Saul, who became Paul. From a hater to a believer to on fire for the Lord to writing books in the Bible. Amazing. The last reading today we had in Luke, I think, is amazing also. Three men led, hung on the cross. Two criminals and Jesus. Jesus is being mocked from below. The leaders are mocking him, saying, "Why doesn't he save himself? If he's really the Christ and Son of God." These criminals are hanging there with a man who's bleeding like them, dying like them, suffocating like them. And the one criminal joins the mockers from below and says, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other one rebukes that criminal. "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" And then he admits and confesses his crime. "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he asks Jesus into his life. And he says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Why did that criminal hanging on the cross with a man that was bleeding like him, dying like him, being mocked by everyone around, even the other person hanging on the cross, what did he see? What did he do? Did he, you know, Jesus did nothing on the cross to show him that he was Jesus. But he still saw and he took that moment of trust and of belief and of faith and put it in Jesus. I think that's just amazing. Just amazing. I want to read one more reading because I was looking for someone in the Bible who would be probably believed from when they were young. I mean, David did, obviously. David killed Goliath in faith. He came and said, "You know, God has given me the strength to kill bears and lions, and he will give me the strength to kill this man." But Hebrews 11, I just want to read a few verses from Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 28. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he led Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So it doesn't really say, you know, what his faith journey was, but it sure sounds like he was one of the people who just from a young age had faith and grew up believing. I just want to close by saying, isn't it ironic that those three hanging on the cross, Jesus and the two criminals, that the one criminal decides to mock Jesus, join the world, take the world's way and mock him, and dies but a few feet from the Savior without being saved. The other criminal takes that chance to believe, to trust, to have faith, to buy in, and ask Jesus for salvation, and ends up going to paradise with him that same day. Anyone here who doesn't believe, it's as simple as that. That short story of Jesus hanging on the cross. If you don't know the Lord, ask him into your life. Confess that you've lived a bad life up to this point, and ask him to remember you, to come into your life and show you the way, and you will be with him in paradise someday. Eternal life, just a few feet away. Eternal death, just a few feet away. I pray that you would choose life. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, I pray for all those, not only that know you, that their faith would be grown, that they would become stronger and stronger, but for those that don't, Father, that you would show them the scales from their eyes would be loosed, dropped, fall off, Father, and they would see the truth. The beauty of believing in you, the joy of believing in you, the blessing of believing in you, the eternal hope, salvation, and eternal life in believing in you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.